One of the Senate's leading Republicans is also considered one of the Senate's more vulnerable members in next year's elections, and Rick Santorum has chosen this moment to publish a political book. Santorum attacks what he calls the bigs: big government, big media, big entertainment, big universities, even big business. Santorum's book is called It Takes a Family. The title plays off Hillary Clinton's book It Takes a Village, though Santorum says he's critiquing much more than Clinton.
They say it takes a village, but really what their ideology is based around is really the individual. And we understand that the basic unit of society is the family, that the individual needs to be nurtured, supported, and molded and shaped through this family structure, through the real village, which is the church, the community organizations, the nonprofits, the civic associations, who are there on the local level, the neighbors, to form and shape this individual into a person of character.
Isn't this actually an argument that you would also have with some conservatives? Because
Absolutely.
There are conservatives
no
who very
question.
Strongly believe in the power
in
of the
fact,
individual.
In fact, it's a very good point. One of the criticisms I make is to what I refer to as more of a libertarian-ish right. You know, the left has gone so far left and the right in some respects has gone so far right that they touch each other and they come around in the circle. And this whole idea of personal autonomy, while I don't think most conservatives hold that point of view, some do. And they have this idea that people should be left alone, be able to do whatever they want to do. Government should keep our taxes down and keep our regulation low, and that we shouldn't get involved in the bedroom. We shouldn't get involved in cultural issues. You know, people should do whatever they want. Well, that is not how traditional conservatives view the world. And I think most conservatives understand that individuals can't go it alone, that there is no such society that I'm aware of where we've had radical individualism and that it succeeds as a culture.
I want to ask about a couple of other items here. President Bush, in the last several days, has said that he believes that intelligent design, the idea that there is a creator behind the work of the world that we see, that intelligent design should be taught in schools. What do you think of that?
I think I would probably tailor that a little more than what the president has suggested, that I'm not comfortable with intelligent design being taught in the science classroom. What we should be teaching are the problems and holes, and I think there are legitimate problems and holes in the theory of evolution. And what we need to do is to present those fairly from a scientific point of view. We should lay out areas in which the evidence supports evolution and areas in the evidence that does not. And as far as intelligent design is concerned, I really don't believe it's risen to the level of a scientific theory at this point that we would want to teach it alongside of evolution.
Why do what you see as holes in the theory of evolution? And there are scientists who will hear on our air that will disagree with the idea that there are really
sure.
that many holes. But
I just think they're wrong.
why does that particular item of the academic curriculum concern you as a United States
because
senator? Why would those holes matter to
it
you?
It has huge consequences for society. I mean, it's where we come from. Does man have a purpose? Is there a purpose for our lives? Or are we just simply, you know, the result of chance? If we're the result of chance, if we're simply a mistake of nature, then that puts a different moral demand on us. In fact, it doesn't put a moral demand on us than if, in fact, we are a creation of a being that has moral demands.
In your book, you give that list of bigs, groups that you think have too much power. You also have a list of littles,
mm-hmm.
The family. You also name the church as an organization that seems to be under too much pressure today. Isn't your public career an example of the fact that the church has profound influence in the United States and that religion has profound influence in the United States and it's accorded respect? You're in the United States Senate, you're the third-ranking senator, and you're by no means the highest-ranking Christian in the government.
Well, no one's saying that people of faith have not been allowed in the public square. All I'm saying is that people of faith, when they speak in the public square, get hammered for speaking that way in the public square. I'm always told that what I say is controversial. Why is it controversial? Because I speak from a tradition that has now fallen out of favor with the dominant media in this country. And so when I say things like marriage should be between one man and one woman, I'm called a bigot. I don't call people who disagree with me names. I don't say that what they're doing is intolerant. What I say is that they have a right to their opinion. They have a right to bring it to the public square. They have a right to a worldview that's different from mine, and we shouldn't be intolerant of those viewpoints.
I guess my question is, I mean, you have become so much more powerful than your critics. then I wonder how you can continue to feel oppressed. You're laughing.
No, I'm not feeling oppressed at all. I feel very blessed to be in the position I'm in. All I'm suggesting is that if you look at some of the things just that I've been called in recent days, whacked out, nutcase, weird, on drugs, sanctimonious, hypocritical, idiot, stupid. I mean, these
are things. Are you reading from a list there?
I'm reading from a list of what.
On your personal data.
Right, on my BlackBerry, of things just in the last week I've been called for saying some of these, quote, controversial things, like parents should spend more time at home with their kids. The education system should be parent-centered, and that should be serving the needs of parents, not the needs of the institution. Controversial things like marriage should be between one man and one woman. Controversial things that saying life begins at conception and we should honor and respect life at all stages. I mean, I can make the argument that they certainly are things that people disagree with, but they're not lunatic fringe kinds of statements.
In the coming weeks, the U.S. Senate will be considering the nomination of John Roberts to the U.S. Supreme Court, President Bush's first pick. What do you want to hear from John Roberts when he speaks to the Senate?
What I want to hear is a judge who understands their place as a judge, and that is that they are not the person who runs the United States government, that they are there to arbitrate disputes. I have a quote in here. Thomas Jefferson said in 1821, quote, "The germ of destruction of our nation is in the power of the judiciary. An irresponsible body, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction." This is how I view what's going on in the courts today. Quietly, silently, they've become the final arbiter of everything.
When the newest Supreme Court justice considers a case in Roe versus Wade, which seems entirely likely, how should that justice regard the past 32 years of precedents which have found in favor of a right to abortion?
My feeling is that the judge has a responsibility to the Constitution first, precedent second.
Do you want John Roberts to talk about his view of the precedents on that case?
No, I don't.
Confirmation?
I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think judges should be put in a position of prejudging cases. But I think you have to understand that precedent is one factor. It is not the only factor. If it was the only factor, then, you know, we wouldn't have had Roe versus Wade. We wouldn't have had Griswold. We wouldn't have had Lawrence. We wouldn't have had all these cases, which the left love. They love it when we overturn precedent. And then once their precedent is established, don't overturn it. We need to decide them according to the Constitution, not necessarily just precedent.
Rick Santorum is a United States Senator from Pennsylvania and the author of It Takes a Family. Senator, thanks very much.
Thank you.